Welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. Whether you like to fish, enjoy talking about fishing, or just enjoy the fishing lifestyle, this is the podcast for you. So go grab yourself a cold drink or a hot cup of coffee, sit back, start tying up some fishing rigs, and enjoy the show.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. I hope you're having a good day, whatever day it is that you happen to be listening to the show. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, I appreciate you stopping by and checking it out. It's a podcast where we talk about fishing, a lot of stuff about catfish, but we get into some other species too. And today's podcast is going to be talking about hooks. A lot of it I'll kind of reference to catfish and catching catfish, but also go into some of the nuances of some of these different hooks and how they apply to other species, that kind of stuff. So stay tuned. We're going to chat about that. But real quick, any of you folks that want to reach out to me and give me some feedback, give me some ideas, the easiest thing to do is go to my website, DieterMellhornFishing.com. There's a contact section on there. You can send me an email, shoot me a text. I get feedback. I get letters, emails from people all the time. I appreciate it. And a lot of these podcasts come from questions that I get in there, because I figure if one of you is asking that question, hundreds of you are asking that question. And that's what we're doing here. It's just trying to share some information, make the sport a little less intimidating and a little more welcoming, and just a little more fun to jump into and partake in, because I do believe that educated anglers are better stewards of our resources. And that's what I like to do, help you guys learn more. And the great thing is I get some good feedback from you guys as far as information, ideas, and stuff. So it goes both ways. But yeah, DieterMellhornFishing.com. There's links to my YouTube channel also, which is where all this started. We've got hundreds of videos on there. And there's also links to my guide service. I'm a licensed captain here in the Carolinas. So if you're interested in any of that, go to the website. So anyway, this subject comes up. I see this a lot on Facebook, some of the different fishing groups on there. Especially there's one, Catfishing America, which is kind of a, I guess you would call it, it's a great Facebook page for entry-level anglers and experienced anglers. But there's a lot of new people on there. It's one that comes up in search pretty easily. And I get a lot of people on there with a lot of questions. They get into the whole hook discussion. And that's kind of what we're going to go over. Because there's basically, I've done videos on this on my YouTube channel that goes into showing the different hooks. So if you want to see all this stuff, if you're not familiar with it, just go to my website. There's a video on there about the different types of fishing hooks. But you're basically looking at three hooks, a treble hook, a circle hook, and a J hook. And those are basically the three that you're going to encounter when you go wandering into your local Walmart or sporting goods store to buy some hooks. And you're probably wondering, well, which one do you go with? So we're going to go over some of the little specifics in each of these hooks. The first one that looks like it ought to be the best one for catching fish is a treble hook. Treble meaning three, try, however you want to break that down. But you basically have three hooks that all share the same shank. Three different points. They look like a grapple hook, like something you would, you know, throw to grab something, snag something with. These are the same hooks that you will see on like a bass fishing lure. Any of the plugs, topwater plugs, crankbaits, that kind of stuff. Those hooks that dangle down off of those bass lures are treble hooks. You can use these on a fishing line. You can use them on a lure, like one of those bass lures I'm talking about. A lot of people use them in the catfish world for pack bait. Anytime you're using any kind of stink bait or dough bait, it's kind of easy to pack this stuff around a treble hook. There's a lot of guys use them striper fishing, live baiting for stripers, dropping them down, a thinner wire hook, hooking live bait shad or blueback herring or something like that. So they're a very effective hook. A couple issues with them is if you are into catch and release, they're pretty bad for the fish. They can do a lot of damage to a fish's mouth. They can tear a lot of stuff up. They are a J hook. So, jerking the rod, setting the hook is important. But the biggest thing is they do a lot of damage to a fish's mouth. You just have so many hook points in there catching on to so many different parts of a fish. The other thing is, generally speaking, the size of the wire and the size of the hook is generally smaller compared to a larger J hook or a circle hook. And that's kind of hard to explain in an audio podcast. It's easier to show. But what happens is when you try to get to a hook that has a bigger gap on it, and that's the distance from the tip of the hook to the shank, which is the long part that you tie your line onto. When you try to get that bigger, wider gap, which a lot of people want for catching catfish, these treble hooks would have to get twice as big as a regular J hook. They would end up being twice as big to create that same gap. And like I said, that's hard to explain, but it's kind of one of the downsides to them. A lot of them are designed with, you know, thinner wire. And what that means is the thickness of the metal that the hook is made out of. For 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pound bass, you don't need a super thick wired hook because the fish just don't have the strength to straighten that hook out. You start getting into some bigger catfish, they can easily straighten out one of these smaller treble hooks with a thinner gauge wire. So kind of some of the ups and downs there on those things. Now, a J hook is basically what you can imagine, the letter J, just making the letter J. It's the typical hook that you would see in any cartoon. Probably one of the first hooks you ever used. It's just a normal looking hook. Now, there are different variations to them. There's a lot of different, you know, variations as far as the way the tips are with a barb or barbless. A barb is that little thing that sticks up that kind of catches on everything. Some of them are barbless hooks. There's some types of fish, trout, things like that you have to fish for with barbless hooks because it does less damage to the fish's mouth. It makes pulling the hook out a lot easier. It's harder to catch a fish with a barbless hook. If you truly wanted to make fishing sporting and tournament sporting, you'd make people fish with barbless hooks because it is a lot easier to lose a fish. The other thing that varies a lot on J-hooks is the length of the shank. Some of the shank is the part, again, that you tie your line onto. It's got the little eye on it. Some of those shanks are very long, the Aberdeen-style hooks. Some of them are very short. Some of them have little barbs on the shank, which are actually used to help hold your bait on, especially if you're using artificial baits or that kind of thing. J-hooks, generally, you're going to set just like you would a treble hook. You're going to do like the bass fishermen you see on TV, rareback, and jerk the rod and set the hook in the fish's mouth. That's the way they're designed. And these things come in a wide variety, a much wider variety than probably any of the other hook styles. From very, very tiny number 10 and 12 size hooks that are just teeny little bitty things, all the way up to 16, 18 all giant tuna hooks. So a wide range of hooks there, a wide range of sizes. And we'll get into a little bit in a minute some of the size variations there and what all that means. The last general hook classification, what they call a circle hook. Circle hook is similar to a J-hook, except that the only difference is the point, the tip, the sharp part on a circle hook comes up and makes a bend back perpendicular to the shank of the hook. It's 90 degrees to the shank of the hook. Whereas a normal J-hook, the point is parallel to the shank of the hook. Circle hook makes a turn right back into the shank of the hook, perpendicular to it. That's what makes it what it is. The reason for that is a J hook is much more likely to catch somewhere in a fish's mouth, possibly in the throat if they engulf a bait, because of the way the hook is exposed. A circle hook is less likely to do that. By design, it is meant to pull to the outer edge of a fish's mouth, and as the head is turning away, fish is going away, it pulls into the corner of the mouth, and then the fish turns the other way, it allows that tip to roll into it. Why do you use these hooks? Why don't you want to throat hook a fish? Well, these hooks were really designed for offshore tournament anglers and people who were offshore fishing that were catch and release oriented, catching sailfish, blue marlin, white marlin, those type of fish that they were catching and releasing alive. They weren't trying to catch and kill all of them. So they wanted a hook that did very little damage, was very effective for hooking the fish, but allowed the fish to be released at boat side with very little damage so that it could be caught again. As they were used more and more, people started to realize that one of the great things about a circle hook is it basically sets itself. You have a rod that is in a rod holder. You can hold the rod if you want to, but you have it in a rod holder, fixed position. And when the fish takes the bait, hook goes into the mouth, the resistance of the rod on the line basically pulls the hook into the corner of the fish's mouth and it will set itself. So it became a very effective hook for people fishing from boats, people who were trolling, dragging baits, and people fishing from the bank that were in a position where they could set their rod up in rod holder and let the fish load up and set it. You can also reel down and, you know, reel fast into the corner. Some people will jerk the rod, and my opinion is you don't have to do it. It probably hurts things a lot of the times, especially if you have a poorly hooked fish. Say you have a fish that's whisker hooked, barely hooked in the corner of the mouth, and then you rear back and jerk on it, you can actually pull the hook loose. So you really don't need to set the hook with a circle hook. They will set themselves. So that's kind of one of the good things about those. Now, one of the things that throws in some confusion here is a term called octopus hooks. And sometimes the term octopus is mixed in with other types of hooks. All an octopus hook is a hook that has the eye, the little loop that you tie onto, that is bent. It's bent at about 45 degrees. These are used a lot with circle hooks. There are some J hooks with them. I've never seen one with a treble hook, and I don't know why you would have an octopus treble hook. But with J hooks, there are some J hooks that have the octopus style eye, and there are some circle hooks. So you can have an octopus hook that is a J hook with that bent eye, and you can have a octopus circle hook, which is a circle hook with a bent eye on it. The reason for this, again, is snelling the hook. You want to, for folks that want to snell the hook, which is the best way to do it with a circle hook. This is a way you tie the hook onto your line or to your leader by wrapping the line around the shank of the hook. It helps pull the hook in line with the shank of the hook, helps with your hook set, and it's a very, very, very secure knot. So that's the reason for having these. Personally, it's what I use. It's what I like. I think the hookup ratio is as good, if not better, than with the traditional line. Not to mention, it makes tying the hook. I just like the way the hook hangs, the way it pulls, the way the leader is in line with the shank of the hook versus when you use a straight eye, a non-octopus hook, and you try snelling it, it has a funky angle to it and the way it's dangling. Some people say it helps with hookup. I would argue that. I think it can lead to hooks rolling out of the mouth. But the bottom line is both ways will catch fish. But that's what that word means, octopus. I see some discussion and questions about that, so I figured I'd bring that up. Wire thickness is something you're going to come into, and that, again, is the thickness of the metal that the hook is made out of. That simple. Basically, hooks are really just a continuous piece of long, heavy wire that these things are made from and the way they're stamped out. The thicker the wire thickness, the heavier, obviously, the better, the more weight it's going to be able to hold, less likely to bend, that type of thing. And that's where you kind of have to pay a little bit of attention, because there are some hooks that have, you know, a much heavier wire gauge that are, let's say, a J hook, and there are some that are smaller. We'll kind of get into that in a minute on which one to go with and what's your best pick, but that's kind of one of the other terms you're going to come into. Now let's go ahead and jump into the size of hooks. Hooks are laid out by numbers. There will be a, and it's it, two things to keep in mind. It's kind of a weird correlation between the two numbers. And then there's no like rule on what any of these sizes are. It's kind of by the manufacturer. Most of them are fairly close. Some of them are not. And what I mean by that is if you have a 4-aught hook from Owner, Hooker's Terminal, Tackle, and Gamagatsu, 4-aught hooks all going to be a little bit different from each of those people. So generally, they're fairly close, but there's not an exacting number in any of that. And that's okay. It's just a reference point to go with. So you're going to have the numbers in the aughts, which is a 7/0, that are going to go basically 1 through, I've seen them as high as 16-aught. The 1-aught hook is going to be the smallest. The 16 is going to be 16-aught, 16/0 is going to be your biggest. And that's the way those numbers work. Now, going the other way, you will see hook sizes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I think I've seen some 12 hooks. Those are just number. The number symbol, the pound sign, the hashtag symbol, whatever you want to call it, and then a number. They go the opposite direction. The higher the number, the smaller the hook. So when I go brim fishing, bluegill, perch, I use a very small number 8 hook, which is pretty dang small. These are little bitty hooks. On the other end of the spectrum, an 8-aught hook is what I use to catch 50 and 60 pound catfish. So it's just kind of get that in your head that those numbers for the, you know, number 1, number 2, number 3 are going to start out big with a number 1 and they're going to get smaller as it goes down. So that's kind of the way your size numbers go. Now, people ask, like in the catfish world, what size hook should I go with? And, you know, generally speaking, most places in this country do not have big catfish. Where most people are fishing, they are going to catch, and the probability of catching fish is smaller fish. And with that in mind, you should be using smaller bait. Now, there are places with big fish, no doubt, but generally speaking, out of the millions of acres of water that are out there, very few of those acres have potential to catch big, big fish. So you don't need to be using big, big bait. So you're better off going with smaller bait. Consequently, you need to use a smaller hook. But generally speaking, you need to match your hook to your bait, not the size fish you're trying to catch. Now, there is a little bit of reason within that statement I just made, because you can catch big fish on smaller baits. So in those situations where you're fishing in a place that has that potential, you may want something with a little heavier wired size, this wire thickness. This is where we go back to that term, so that you've got something that's not going to straighten out. With that said, something in the 4-aught range, I think, is a good mid-range point for people that have the potential to catch big fish and the reality of catching mostly smaller fish. If you know that all you've got are 2-, 3-, 4-pound channel cats in the water you're fishing, I would say go even smaller. I would say something in the 2-aught range is going to be plenty of hook for fish that size. That 4-aught, 5-aught, 6-aught, I have caught, I think, my personal best blue catfish from Sandy Cooper, I think 71 pounds, was caught on a 6-aught hook. Relatively small piece of bait. And, you know, that smaller bait was paired up with smaller hook. Same time, I had out some very large baits, some whole crop or whole perch and some big perch heads that were, you know, in, you know, 8-aught hooks. So, you know, I had those out there, but they were more relative to the size of the bait that I was fishing. So, in summary, if you're fishing an area with small fish, something in that 2-aught range is going to tell, or even smaller, something in a number 1 size hook is going to be fine for catching those fish. Matter of fact, you'll probably get more bites using those smaller hooks. So, I think a lot of people fishing in places, they're trying to use giant hooks, hoping they're going to catch a giant fish, and there ain't no giant fish in there. And these little fish are either feeling that hook or they can't get the hook in their mouth and they're pecking baits to death. And that's why they're getting hit, but they're not hooking up. I think that's part of the problem in some of this. So something to keep in mind there on the hook size. Think smaller versus going bigger. I just think you'll be better off and you'll catch more fish. And one thing about hooks, I've seen stuff online. It comes up occasionally about hooks breaking. And while there are manufacturer's defects, that happens. There can be defects in anything made out there, whether it be fishing rods, fishing hooks, fishing line, your car, your truck, your boat trailer. There are defects that happen in a manufacturing process, and that's usually attributed to human error. Somebody screwed up something in the quality control process. It can happen with hooks. With that said, I think a lot of damage to hooks and hooks breaking is from tiny, minute stress points, break points that are created on hooks. And I think we as anglers do that a lot of times. I think a lot of times we do it with pliers, using pliers to remove hooks from a fish's mouth. When you grab a hook with a pair of pliers and pinch down on it and try to twist it, where those pliers make that microscopic bend into that metal of that hook, you've created a weak point. If that hook's going to break and it's loaded to its breaking point, it's going to break where you made that indention with the pliers. So I think if you're going to do that and you're worried about breaking hooks and you're loading your tackle up to beyond to its breaking point, you probably need to swap out hooks when you do that. That has never been a concern for me because I do not load my gear up to that point. That's what I have drag in place for. When you start maxing stuff out like that, you're dancing with the devil. You're flirting with the disaster. But some people do it. They feel that's the way they need to fish, and so be it. If you're doing that, whenever you grab a hook with a pair of pliers, you probably need to be taking that hook off, throwing it away, and getting a new hook on there just to remove any of that microscopic damage to that hook because it could break around that point. Because honestly, I have seen hooks straighten more often than I've seen them break. And that is, and most hooks will do that. You take that same hook and you put just a little bend, a little scrape in it from a pair of pliers, and I guarantee you it will break before it will straighten out. So that's something to just keep in mind. And another thing with circle hooks, to try to avoid, we go back to the circle hooks and the way that point is shaped and the way it goes into the fish's mouth. It rolls into the mouth. It kind of comes in. It doesn't stick straight in. It kind of rolls in. So when you're taking out those circle hooks, try to roll them out. If you can imagine, that hook is not going to pull straight back against a point. If you can roll it, if you can get it to kind of make that circle, that wrap, that bend that the hook tip is making, that will help you roll that hook out. And one, it'll do less damage to the fish. It'll also help get it around a lot of structure in the jaw, bones, that kind of thing. You can usually clear that, especially, you know, with the barb and stuff. So rolling that hook out will help. That way you don't have to get in there and torque on it with a pair of pliers. Now, listen, I do it all the time. I use the pliers a lot. You get a fish that is deep hooked. Sometimes I will use the pliers to get further into its mouth, one, to protect my hands. But you can also use that, you know, the boon pliers that I use, the long nose ones. You can use that to bend that or get in further to roll that hook out of there. So that's just something to keep in mind there on hooks and breaking and pliar damage and all that. You can damage your hooks that way. One more thing is, do hooks rust out? And we're going to address that in a future video this winter. But generally speaking, hooks don't rust out as quick as we say they do. You always hear these fishermen say, oh, that hook will rust out in a couple days. That is a lie, okay? That will not happen. I can guarantee you it's not going to rust out in a couple of days, period. That's something fishermen make up and say to make themselves feel good about leaving a hook in a fish's mouth. It's not going to rust out in a couple of days. It will be there for a while. I have pulled hooks out of fish before that have, you know, algae and everything else growing on the lure and the line and everything else. They don't rust out in a couple of days. But what will happen with a lot of fish, especially with catfish, If you've ever caught a catfish and you see a big hole in the corner of its mouth, a lot of times that can be from a hook, a lure, a crappy jig that got stuck in its mouth and got broke off. And what ends up happening is that area basically creates almost like a little cyst, a little area of dead skin around that foreign body. And it basically gets hard, dies, and falls off. And a lot of times the hook goes with it. That's how they're able to expel this stuff. I think that's how they actually expel some of these fish tags that we've put in them. It's just a defense mechanism that these animals have to keep themselves alive and get rid of this stuff. Sometimes they will swallow it, and you know, the same thing can happen in the throat. Quite honestly, sometimes these fish will eat these hooks and they get them in the back of their throat and they may never expel them. So, especially some of the stainless steel hooks. It's one of the bad points about using some of the better hooks, some of these stainless steel hooks. They're not coming out. They're not going to rust out. It's just not going to happen. That hook's going to be stuck in that fish. Does it kill the fish? Who knows? You know, does it have a bad impact on the fish long range? We don't know. But we know this, that if you do, if you kill the fish, it's going to die. So it's not going to make it anywhere. At least it has a chance on being released. But you know, hey, if you're fishing and you're keeping fish to eat, and you're getting some throat hook, those are probably some good ones to keep. The ones that get throat hook like that and have damage to them. You know, those are probably some of your better ones to keep. I've had that happen before on some guide trips. And when I fish, if I throat hook one, I'll usually end up keeping it and eating it. So, but that's a little dispelling of that old rumor and that legend. It's try to get the hooks out. It's probably better for the fish. But if you got one that's really deep, deep hooked, trying to rip the hook out of its gullet and then throwing it back, it's probably going to be more detrimental to the fish than just leaving the hook in the fish's throat area and letting it deal with it, or just letting it exist with it in there. Life's tough in nature, and these fish deal with less than pleasurable conditions constantly, and that's just the life in the wild. So having that hook in its throat, not a great thing. But it's probably going to be better off than having it ripped out of its throat. And, you know, Lord only knows what kind of damage you can do to it by doing that. So hopefully that gives you guys some good information on hooks. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll catch you out on the water.